Hi, everyone. This is Christopher Coleman. And before this episode officially begins, I wanted to just take a second to express what I know a lot of people are feeling today, September 6th, 2018, with the news that Beth Krakauer has passed away. And she was, has been a great part of the film music community online, especially if you've read a review, a soundtrack review online, or listened to a podcast that talks about soundtrack music or interviews composers, or you've seen things done on YouTube that has to do with soundtracks. It's probably the case that she was involved on some level. Her fingerprints are all over the film music community and soundtrack coverage on the internet, and has been for many, many years. So I wanted to express my own sense of loss, even though our relationship was professional and we talked on the phone and we went back and forth on emails, and she made so much happen for Track Sounds and for the Soundcast and the Annotator. She was a very big part of that, and a lot of people online in the film music community will echo that sentiment and a lot more than this. But I wanted to express that before we started this episode officially, because it's news that just happened today. And we will dedicate a full episode to talking about her and the great work that she's done in the very near future. But being that the news dropped today, I just wanted to inject this in the beginning in case you knew her and hadn't heard the news. I also wanted to just be able to put this out there as soon as possible, even though we'll spend more time celebrating her life and her work in an episode coming up. So if you haven't heard, but to inform you about what's happened, and you'll see all over Twitter and Facebook many remembrances of her and acknowledgments of her work and what a great person she was as well. So Beth Krakauer, we lost her way too soon. We will all miss her work and her person in this very small soundtrack community. So be on the lookout for that full episode in the very near future.
And the school bus rolls, and the children stand so cold on the corner, and life looks bold, and the maple leaves turn white gold. Here we go again, autumn's road, and the apple cider warms that soul. Crisp adrenaline, turn what's old into something new, behold.
And what's up, podcast people and soundtrack geniuses around the world? You're listening to The Soundcast, the official podcast of TrackSounds.com. And on this podcast, we talk all things film, television, and video game music. That is to say, soundtracks. I'm Christopher Coleman, and joining me today is
Kristen Romanelli of Film Score Monthly Online.
I'm Dane Walker, composer in parentheses.
I'm just Justin Craig.
Do you want to be in brackets?
I just want an asterisk. That's all.
Okay. Okay, we'll give you an asterisk.
I'm later. Other.
Today is Sunday, September 2nd, 2018, and this is episode 116, where we discuss upcoming original film scores through the rest of 2018.
You can find all episodes of The Soundcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and Google Podcasts. And you can send us your feedback to soundcast@tracksounds.com, or use our SpeakPipe widget to leave us a voicemail, or hit us up on Twitter at Audio Soundcast or at Track Sounds, or find us on Facebook. Well, welcome back, Justin. Good to have you back again.
Thanks. It's been a while.
It has been a little bit. I think it was like Ready Player One or something was the last time you're on.
Yeah, definitely. That was in March. Yeah,
I can't believe how long ago that was.
It was.
It went by fast, though.
It kind of does. Kind of did. And, of course, welcome back, Kristen and Dane. Good to have you guys back on tonight.
Thanks very much.
On this Labor Day weekend, as the summer, I guess, unofficially ends with Labor Day, which is tomorrow, we're going to be looking at what's left for this year, fall and winter, at least through the end of the year. Talking about film scores that are coming up, what our expectations are, what we're looking forward to, what we might be concerned with, and what we might think some surprises might be for all of you soundtrack fans out there. So we're going to jump right in and talk about our top five film scores coming up for the rest of the year. And we're just going to kind of run through them. We probably have a lot of common ones. So when someone brings up your title, feel free to chime in at that point in time as to why you also picked that as one of your top five most anticipated scores. Kristen, I'll start with you. Give us one of yours.
Well, my first one is actually coming up pretty soon is Abel Krasiniowski's The Nun. I really enjoy Abel Krasiniowski, so anything out from him is going to be a special treat.
Has he ever done straight horror before? I don't know if he's done
other
horror.
Than television. He's done Penny Dreadful.
Oh, that's right.
But I don't think he's done a feature horror before.
Yeah.
And apparently he didn't make a connection between the horror of Penny Dreadful and the horror of The Nun, which kind of takes place in the Conjuring universe. It's based on the exorcisms of the Warrens. Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to that.
He's such an underrated composer. I like him a lot.
He's great. Is he underrated? He's underutilized.
I feel like his profile should be much higher. He should have been nominated for Nocturnal Animals for sure.
Yeah, agreed. He seems, maybe he's really choosy with his projects. I don't know.
I would say that. And he also really, he devotes his whole attention to a project when it's in front of him.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have a lot of projects going on at the same time.
Yeah. Well, that's good. And that shows in his work.
Mm-hmm. About almost 10 years ago, La La Land Records released a score of his to some animated movie called...
Yeah, Battle of Terra or something?
No.
Oh, sorry.
Copernicus's Star?
Oh, yeah.
And that is such an incredible score. And I bought it by listening to the sound samples. And I mean, I don't know if anybody's ever seen this movie. I certainly have. I don't even know where you can find it. Mm. But it's such a great score. And it's everything he's done is just amazing, I think. And I haven't heard him since Penny Dreadful. So I'm glad to see that he's back out there again.
Yeah. Polish composers, man.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
They do. They do have good stuff. Anyone else have that on their list? As one of your top five most anticipated?
No, because it scares the crap out of me.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I love horror, and not a lot gets to me, but I'll have to say the Conjuring series definitely got to me. And not because it took place in Rhode Island. No. Not because, you know, the Warrens are right in Connecticut and they apparently did something at Fairfield University. But and
they were there when we were there.
Yeah.
Well, those are the people you want there, right?
Well, apparently
no, they came and spoke.
Apparently they lecture. Said something about Dolan Hall.
Where I lived.
And where I lived.
Yeah.
Nice.
And
there is a nun urban legend that has to do with Dolan Hall, which is kind of why I'm like excited / scared out of my mind about seeing this movie.
You guys are crazy. That's the last thing I would
go
see.
The Nun is such a Christian movie. It really is. I lived on the top floor of that building, and above my room was the attic where apparently the nun hanged herself.
Yeah.
And every night I would hear what sounded like a marble rolling across the ceiling. All the time, every night. It was so freaky.
Yeah, I lived on the fourth floor. I can attest to that. It kind of sounds in the Dolan West Wing. You could hear it better than the Dolan East Wing. But there was a lot of like clanging and rolling, and oh god, I loved that creepy old haunted dorm.
Yeah. Well, maybe you get to relive it through Abel Korsnowski's score.
What if he samples a marble rolling, and that's the basis of his score?
If he samples a marble rolling,
you know
I
what?
Will lose my mind.
I didn't even put the connection together until just now that it's the Warrens and the Nun, and maybe it was. So actually.
Do you remember? Do you remember that stupid horror movie that I had worked on in college with what's his face, and we ended up putting in the Legend of the Nun in there? And
of course.
That's kind of why I'm like, I'm so excited.
Somebody owe you royalties or something?
Absolutely not. This person doesn't deserve anything. So I hope the Nun is a huge success.
All right. Gotcha. All right, Justin, give us one of yours. Top five.
Well, I very much want to see and listen to First Man because Justin Hurwitz is going 3 for 3 here. I loved Whiplash. That was one of my favorite movies a couple years ago.
Agreed.
And I really loved the first half of La La Land until it got serious. Then I lost interest.
Huh.
I liked all the spectacle of La La Land.
Hmm.
So now I can't wait to see First Man. And it's getting great reviews, and it sounds like it's going to be an Oscar contender.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think Justin Hurwitz is such a great composer. I mean, I've only heard two of his scores so far.
Yeah.
So I don't even know what this is going to sound like, but I've been reading reviews, you know, Variety and such, of what's coming out of the festivals, and it sounds like his score is amazing, and it's going to be another Oscar contender. But I'm curious to know if it's going to be Apollo 13 type of music, or if it's going to be something completely different, or if it's going to be something like Gravity.
Mm.
You know, mm-hmm. I don't know what to expect. He's such a very lyrical composer. Because of his previous two scores.
True.
So I would imagine that would carry over to this as well. So we might get more of that melodic type of Apollo 13 type of a score rather than a Gravity. I hope. But
yeah.
So that's number one on my list.
Yeah. He really likes to work within a concept too. He's such an intelligent guy. That's one of the ones I'm really looking forward to also.
I am too, but for me, I this is the first time I'll have cared about one of the films that he scored, so I'm interested in. It's just because the other one, like, I wasn't into La La Land, and then Whiplash. I was teaching music at the time, and everybody kept saying, "You have to see Whiplash. You have to see Whiplash." So I was like, "Why are they telling the music teacher he has to see Whiplash? Maybe I shouldn't see Whiplash." Anyway. I haven't seen that yet, but
You need to see that.
I know.
As a Berkeley grad, that you should.
Well, that was part of it too, because somebody showed me the scene where he throw a chair?
Mm-hmm.
Does he chuck chairs or something? And they're like, we thought you would relate to this, and I was like, why am I going to relate to the scene of throwing the chair? But yeah, it totally has that Berkeley vibe, and I definitely need to see it. But I am excited about First Man, and I'm excited to hear this score. Because I've heard great things about Justin, but I haven't really heard him.
Yeah, so. It's on my list as well. I'm curious about it. I'd be shocked if it was anything like Apollo 13. I just don't think we get scores that are that straightforward and earnest.
And awesome?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. we just don't get those. But I'm curious because, we only have two real samples from his portfolio, so I have no idea of what he's going to do. It's certainly not going to be anything like Whiplash and probably nothing like La La Land, so what is it going to be like? But I am definitely very much looking forward to it, and it could be super minimal and, probably it may not be one of my favorites in the end, but I'm with you. I'm with all of you. I'm definitely looking forward to that one too. Dane, what's another one of yours?
Well, I kind of picked two because I'm just excited about Ludwig Göransson. So Venom and Creed 2. I probably won't see Venom because it's just not my thing, but I totally will get that score. I know I will. And I'm excited to see what he does with Creed 2. Can he build on what he did with Creed and continue, making that franchise really cool? I like Ludwig's scoring analysis, the way he approaches it. Is to me awesome. Like I like hearing how he does it, how he philosophizes everything, how he's approaching everything, how he breaks it down to its most basic element that he's gonna, and then he works up from there. And I think it took great courage with Creed for him to write a whole basic score and then realize this is not going to work, and then be able to quickly turn around, take something from the original Rocky series and like rework it and claim it, make it his own, and you know, score that film totally differently than he'd originally intended to do at the beginning. So I'm excited about anything he does. I think he's awesome.
Yeah, those were both on my list. Before I brought it down to a top five, they didn't quite make my list. But certainly going to be something interesting, I think, especially for Venom. Anyone else have either of those on their lists?
Yeah, Ludwig Göransson's one of the most exciting composers working right now.
Yeah.
I feel like he wasn't on my radar when he did Creed. But the Grouch is over at FSM. They just lit up like Christmas. It was... I say that with all the love in my heart. no, seriously, they just like lit up and they're like, who is this guy? This score is actually something fresh and exciting. And he seems to have continued that momentum. So I'm excited to see how far he can push that.
Yeah, agreed.
I have never seen a Rocky movie in my life. Therefore, I have not seen Creed 1 or 2.
Oh, gee whiz.
I know. It's the most famous movies I have never seen.
That's just crazy, man. That's just crazy.
Every time I remember to go watch Rocky, it's not anywhere to watch. So then I miss it again. And then one day I'll see it, I'm sure.
You have to watch the first one, if nothing else.
We all have those movies that somehow seem fundamental to everybody, and we just missed, like, that one, like...
That's mine is true. Dumb and Dumber.
What? What? I've got a really bad one. Worse than Rocky, to be honest.
Me too.
I'll confess first.
Okay.
The Godfather.
What?
Goodfellas.
I can take that. I've only seen like pieces of Goodfellas. I've never seen the whole thing.
Okay. Goodfellas isn't as shocking as The Godfather.
I've only seen pieces of
Godfather. I would say Rocky and The Godfather are two shocking things. Every time I tell somebody that I've never seen Rocky, they think I'm like, I have leprosy or something.
Well, you can just tell them, well, Chris hasn't seen Godfather, and that'll get him right off of your tail. Yeah, I don't know why. I just never seen the whole thing. It's weird. Just like,
I'm not into mob movies.
Me either. I
like The Godfather. It's not something I seek out to watch.
Yeah.
And I still have never seen Godfather Part 3, and people tell me that's a good thing. But yeah. I mean, that's probably heresy to say that it's just okay. I mean, I like it for what it is.
Yeah, I've wanted to watch it more for like the cinematography and those sorts of things, but just haven't got around to it. Okay. Now that we're done with confessions, I will list one of mine, which just recently even came onto my radar, and that is Bad Times at the El Royale. When I saw that trailer, I was like, oh, what's this? This looks really interesting. Drew Goddard is directing it, and supposedly Michael Giacchino is scoring it, which I think is a really interesting combination of things, director and composer, and the type of film that it looks like, which I'm not quite sure I know what kind of film it is, but super visually interesting, and it just looks like a bunch of crazy stuff's going to go on and just like an amalgam of all kinds of really nutty things, but visually really stunning, and it just isn't the type of film, at least by the trailer, that I would think Michael Giacchino would be doing the score for. So that one quickly shot up to the top of my list as just looking forward to hearing what Michael Giacchino does there, because it looks like it could be something different from him. And so that kind of excites me. Anyone else have that one on their list?
I'm excited about that too, because for that very reason, that it's finally something different from Michael Giacchino.
Yeah.
It's not the same, you know, not superhero, but you know, what's he doing? Jurassic World, Star Wars, and
the Marvel adventure, movies. Sci-fi. Yeah.
It's kind of like they're all cut of the same cloth, and this looks like it might be something completely different. So yeah. I'm One excited thing. For that. I think he needs that kind of restart. You know.
Yeah, agreed. Maybe it'll be like Up.
I actually put this in my scores you're concerned about, so maybe I'll talk about it over there. Yeah.
Okay, interesting. All right, Kristen, give us another one.
I'm going to give you a twofer on this one. Max Richter has two films coming out, White Boy Rick, which comes out this month, and then in December he has Mary Queen of Scots.
Ooh, mm-hmm. I didn't know he was doing that. Nice.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, he said he was.
Yeah, he is. He is.
Okay.
I never heard of White Boy Rick, though.
Yeah, that's coming out this month.
Okay.
I'm scheduled to see it next week, so I have no idea yet.
So you'll be able to tell us if we really should be anticipating it or not.
Yeah. When is Mary Queen of Scots? I love Richter. He had one of my favorite scores of last year, which was Hostiles.
Yes.
He's another one who I think has a really original point of view. Who makes me really excited to hear his music. And getting two scores from him in one season, that's kind of a treat. So, and one of them being like a historical, you know, Elizabethan era story. That should be. Saoirse Ronan, I love her.
I'm totally now interested in that movie. I didn't know he was doing that. As soon as I saw the images in the list, I was like, I don't know if I really care about that. So I moved on. But if I had known he was in there, I would have put that there for sure.
Yeah. December 7th, that comes out. Mm-hmm. So we've got a little ways to go. But I'm looking forward to that too. But it didn't quite make my list. Justin, what about you? Give us another one.
There are so many, actually. I just finished watching Succession on HBO, and Nicholas Britell did the score to it, and it was awesome. It was a monothematic score, but how he used that theme was just awesome. Mm. And he did his music for the tennis movie last year with,
The Borg McEnroe one?
Yeah.
No?
The score that was good, and of course, Moonlight. So I'm very much excited to hear what he does with If Beale Street Could Talk.
Same here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Definitely.
Okay. And that's definitely going to be up there, Best Picture material. So he'll probably land an Oscar nomination for that as well, I think.
Yeah, that was Barry Jenkins again. So yeah. I'm very, very interested in seeing it. And hearing it.
And Dane, give us another one. Did you give us another one already? No, you didn't.
No.
Go for it.
I'm looking forward to The Old Man and the Gun. With Daniel Hart.
Daniel Hart, yeah.
Yeah.
I liked Pete's Dragon. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a great score. It kind of hit me in the heart with it. There was a lot of Horner-esque elements to that score, and we all miss Horner. So
that was really different work from what he usually does with this director. Yeah, though. I'm very interested in seeing what sort of direction they go in for this. It seems like they go for something different each time. Like Ain't Them Body Saints was very different.
I love
from
that score.
Pete's Dragon. Definitely, which was very different from a ghost story.
Right.
And I like now that there's story too. This. So,
and that's what I think makes it interesting. It's like, what's he going to do? That's why it's most anticipated. I really like that one. So
good deal. I guess I'm the more mainstream guy here. So I'll mention the mainstream ones that some people may have actually heard of The Nutcracker and the Four Realms by James Newton Howard, which comes out November 2nd. Obviously, it's going to have a lot of Nutcracker Tchaikovsky references, but I really hope that James Newton Howard integrates those into his score somehow. And it's not like, here's just the classical piece, and then here's James Newton Howard's score completely separate. I hope they're integrated together some kind of way, which I think would be really, really interesting. I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer, but you just never know with these types of things. So I'm kind of interested in hearing James Newton Howard do Tchaikovsky and give it a little Newton Howard spin. So I'm really looking forward to that one. Anyone else?
I would hope that he would do something completely original and not incorporate Tchaikovsky, but do it in Tchaikovsky's style.
But it's the Nutcracker.
But it's not the Nutcracker.
The Nutcracker is so overdone.
poor Tchaikovsky. He's still getting railed.
It's not the Nutcracker. That's kind of what bums me out. Like, they've
Alice in Wonderlanded it.
Yes, they have. Yeah. Thank you, Justin. That's exactly. They've Alice in Wonderlanded. They totally have. I think his score will be interesting, but I'm disinterested in the film itself, frankly.
Well, you can just go watch The Nun then.
That was mean.
Right. Huh?
That was mean.
The other James Newton Howard score coming out is on my list, Fantastic Beasts, which I thought his last one was one of his best scores in the past 15 years.
What? Come on.
What? Yes.
Top better than 15. Maleficent?
Yes.
What? Come on now.
It's okay.
I was kind of disappointed with that score, to be honest. I think I listened to it. I saw the film. I think I listened to it once or twice, and I haven't listened to it since.
It's great in the movie. On the album, it's not. But it's perfect in the film.
Yeah, I guess.
Is what matters.
True. I wasn't real thrilled with the film, so maybe that's why. It almost made my top five, but not quite. Because I do have hopes for this next one, because this film, by the trailer, it looks better. So I'm hoping the score will be better. We'll see.
It could use a little more whimsy.
Yes, exactly right. Exactly right. Kristen, any others you want to mention?
There's the new Suspiria that's coming out.
Oh, I can't wait.
I'm really curious about that.
A lot of good buzz.
With Thom Yorke doing the music for that, which is interesting. I want to hear how it compares to the Goblin.
The Goblin score is one of the scariest scores ever.
Oh my gosh. I love that score so much. It is so, so well suited to that movie. So really, okay. Really interested to seeing if there's still some Radiohead magic.
We shall see.
I mean, the movie really, it looks like the movie centers a lot on the music, because they use the dance as the, the dancing as the kind of like the weapon to possess other people or kill other people. So they need music. So that's a good job for a composer.
Yeah. Is this his first time in film, like film?
Mm-hmm. Film? That I don't know. I don't know about that.
Okay.
Could be digital film.
Because I mean... Johnny Greenwood's been doing this for a while.
Very true.
If he can do it, anybody can.
But he got nominated for, how many Oscars has he been nominated for? Two?
Well, he's usually disqualified due to
the Academy.
Due to the Academy. Due to the ever-changing rules.
That's true.
I like Johnny Greenwood. I'm just being a fan.
Yeah. I do too. Which is why I'm kind of like, well, he comes out of a sort of the similar aesthetic as York, so let's see.
We shall see. Dane, give us any other you'd like to mention for your top five.
I think we're all looking forward to Welcome to Marwen.
Not in my top five, but I am looking forward to it.
It's a Silvestri score, right?
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, come on. I hope we get something like in the tune of Forrest Gump or, you know.
It'd be great.
Something along those lines. Really emotional and moving and beautiful.
But the movie might not. allow that.
It may not. I don't know.
Zemeckis is just, you know, he's all about trying to create some kind of new trick that he forgets he's making a movie. And everything else suffers because he's trying to do something really cool, one thing that's super cool. And that at least how he has been for the past, you know, since 2000 or so. And I think Alan Silvestri's scores to the Zemeckis movies have suffered because of it.
Hmm. Yeah, that's...
And now here, what, he's just trying to make Steve Carell small... I saw the trailer once, and it looked a little bit overly sappy. But I can't remember. What does he do? He makes him small and puts him in, like, this little...
I haven't seen the trailer.
Or something.
Well, I think it's a PTSD movie, right? Like, he's dealing with his issues.
Right. Yeah. And he takes it out with, or he deals with it through his toys. But then he becomes imagines himself in like this toy world, right?
Yes.
So that's the whole CGI gimmick thing that Zemeckis can't help but do. He can't just do a normal movie anymore.
What? Wow. It has to be creatively challenging.
You know? He has to do something that's crazy with CGI and a gimmick. Yeah. And then I think, like I said, everything else suffers because of it. The story especially suffers because of it.
The two different environments and the perception of them, that could be a really interesting mm-hmm. exercise for a composer.
Yep, could be.
And I'm excited about it.
Silvestri's been pretty busy this year, so
it's been
a good maybe year on a roll. Maybe he's
Ready Player One was just out of this world. He was so mm-hmm. top-notch score from him there.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. Maybe he's back on his A game. Justin, what else from you?
I'm interested in The Front Runner because mm-hmm. I like Rob Simonson.
Yes. Quite a bit. I was going to mention that one later, but yes, for sure.
The movie might be nothing, but I'm interested to hear what he does cuz He can, like, elevate these, like, minor movies with his score. And that's what's so great about him. Like, I never know it's coming. I never know he's... Because a movie like The Front Runner, I wouldn't necessarily look up who's doing the score, but I would sit and watch it. And mm-hmm. then I'd be like, you know, in theory, I'd be like, wow, this is great. Who did this? And then, oh, Rob Simonson. Yeah. Again, I must really like this guy. So that's kind of what happens there. So I'm looking forward to that in advance. This is the first time I've actually anticipated it. A Rob Simonson movie in advance, so yeah. I hope it doesn't suck.
Well, I mean, he has consistently dropped scores that get your attention. You may have not looked had the movie on your radar at all, and then you hear the score, you see the film, you're like, whoa! And so now he has expectations. You know, I have high expectations for that film score too, and. I think he'll deliver something interesting. He's never boring, that's for sure.
So it was back in January, maybe it was January, my wife and I were just, we wanted to watch something. So we're flipping through Amazon Prime, and we came across this movie called The Only Living Boy in New York. And it has Pierce Brosnan in it and Cynthia Nixon. And
isn't Kate Beckinsale in that too?
Yeah.
And Kate Beckinsale. And
that's the one I'll remember. Sorry.
And I was like, oh, it just looks like some sappy romantic comedy. I was like, fine, whatever. So we started watching it. But the score was out of this world. I was blown away by how great the score was in this movie. And it is. It's kind of a sappy romantic comedy, but with a twist, which is great. And it was Rob Simonson. And. Mm-hmm. That did it for me. I was like, wow, this guy's just fantastic. So
Yeah. He has expectations now. So let's see what he delivers. I'll mention just two more to round it out. Again, more of the mainstream, but I am looking forward to him. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. I was really glad to see Daniel Pemberton land that job. I think he can inject something new and fresh into the superhero world, granted animated. I'm really, really looking forward to what he does, but I have no idea what he's going to do here. And that seems to kind of be a recurring theme from a lot of the things we're mentioning is like, we don't know what they're going to do. This is something different for them, which is great. So we're anticipating things that we can't predict. That's, it's going to probably be same old, same old. Mm-hmm. Which could be high quality, same old, but nonetheless, it sounds more like something new, something different from someone that we know. That and Bumblebee, again, someone we know, Dario Marianelli, but doing a Transformer movie? What does that sound like?
Yeah, what?
What is that going to sound like? I have to believe it's not going to sound anything like the Transformers we have come to know.
Don't be so surprised that it sounds exactly like Steve Jablonski.
I will be
Who will be like, Dario, you know, they could you make it sound like this?
They better not. I mean,
they will.
That will be a crime. It's like, just hire Steve Jablonski then. Or if you're going to want that sound, don't hire Dario Marinelli, who can do something completely different.
He would tell just that to be
Patrick
like,
Doyle
no
for every film over the past 15 years.
Oh, Justin. Tell that to Patrick Doyle.
What has he been forced to do?
Oh, so what? Harry Potter?
Yeah.
The planet. The first Planet of the Apes movie. Thor. Holy cow, Thor.
Are those bad scores? Are you saying those are bad scores?
No, I think what Doyle does in those scores is that, you know, they do definitely come in there with temp and they're like, Doyle, do this. But I've never heard in either Planet of the Apes or Thor or what was the other one you mentioned? Harry Potter, where I forgot it was Doyle and thought it was somebody else.
Yeah, it sounds like Doyle. He's a smart guy. He knows how to keep his voice in there.
But
none of those scores are up to the quality of his earlier stuff.
Well, you know, they can't all be Henry V.
That was his first, so I mean, that's my point.
They can't all be Henry V.
And that's my, like,
or Great
everything
Expectations.
After Henry V.
That's what I would like.
There you go.
Like more Great Expectations. What did you say, Kristen?
I was going to say, I think because he's working with his Leica, you know, buddy, Travis Knight.
Yeah.
There might be more of a chance that he can retain some of his Marianelli-ness.
Yes, let's hope.
I like saying that, Marianelli-ness.
It's not even easy to say.
It sounds like a nice
pasta
sauce.
I'm used to saying names with Ellie's on the end, so.
Oh, I guess you would have a lot of practice with that.
So I'm hopeful. Because of the Travis Knight aspect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a good point. Them two working together, hopefully that means we get something a little different. It certainly looks like a better Transformers film so far, but we'll see. We shall see. All right, let's move on to our top five scores that we're concerned about. We just don't know exactly what we're going to get in the end. Kristen, we'll start with you. Give us one of those. What are you concerned about?
I'm concerned about the Grinch. Danny Elfman. I'm concerned about the story that's being
told
with the Grinch. How it's kind of like an origin story, it seems like.
Again.
Gosh.
The Grinch.
Oh my god, that is such a flashback. That's from a TV show that Justin and I did when we were in college together. Okay, but Danny Elfman doing this concerns me because Danny Elfman's been in kind of a rut, I feel. And I'm not sure this is going to shake him out of it. And I'm concerned about this film as a whole.
Agreed. I do agree. Yeah. It's not on my list, but it was close to being on it. Dane, what about you? Give us one you're concerned about.
Bumblebee. Because it's not Jablonski. But that may make it fresh.
So you want Jablonski.
Yeah, I mean, I like Jablonski's Transformer stuff. Now, that being said, I think as the series kept going, it got just kind of was the same. But so I don't know. I'm just concerned about Bumblebee. It's not Jablonski, but again, that may make it fresh. So there's that.
Okay. That's an interesting concern.
I know. I
a
just
Jablonski-free film world is not necessarily a bad thing.
Wow! Transformers with it needs. It
the
needs
island.
A freshing,
come on. The island was a great score.
Thank you. The island is great.
The island is fantastic. And Transformers was fantastic.
The first one, yeah. The first one was good.
Yeah.
But that was a long time ago.
It was, exactly.
A long time ago.
But, I mean, I can't imagine that universe without Jablonski, so.
Oh, I can. It's not hard. It's not hard.
The Transformers movies are my least favorite movies of all time.
I liked the first one, but the fourth one's pretty painful. So
I didn't watch the last one.
I haven't seen the last one.
The Arthur one, I was like, no, I'm just,
I mean, none of them are as good as the first one. Come on. They're just
I saw
not.
The fourth one. I really wanted to see Dinobots because I was totally into Dinobots when I was a kid
you got
in the
about
80s.
5 minutes of a Dinobot.
I got, yeah, like in the last 10 minutes of the movie, they finally show up and the movie's almost 3 hours long.
Exactly. So. That was the last one I saw. I was like, I'm done. I'm absolutely done. Kristen, you already gave us one, didn't you?
I did.
Justin is carefree. He's just total optimist, has no problems with the fall. Everything's going to be good.
I mean, nothing concerns me. Do you know what would concern me is if somebody like Junkie XL was announced to do the next Indiana Jones movie. Then I would have a care. But other than that, I mean, to each their own. I don't care. I see in your list here that Junkie XL is doing Mortal Engines, and
You shouldn't be giving my.
No, I'm not.
Don't.
I know.
You're stealing my list.
You
Go
broke
ahead.
The show.
You did.
It
just crashed.
You did your cube.
Okay, what do you want to say about Junkie XL and Mortal Engines?
I'll
donate that one to you.
I just don't like him. I don't like any of his stuff.
Well, and then it's a concern, isn't it?
That's a concern. But I didn't know he was scoring that. Oh. I was looking forward to that movie, actually. But now I'm a little bit pissed off knowing that he's doing the score.
Okay, but
what
about
the fact
that...
When you have a movie like that, especially coming from Peter Jackson...
Yeah.
You know, score is important. And the tone of the score and the style of the score and the richness of the score should... be as an important part of the film as the story and everything else. And when you hire somebody like him, you're just like giving up, essentially.
But I have disagree
concerns,
with that because
but it's
I'm excited that Conrad
it's
Pope...
my entry. Let me talk about it first.
I'm sorry.
I agree that it's an odd choice and it does give you pause, but Junkie XL is capable of doing some interesting things. Maybe it's more Mad Max than it is Deadpool. Maybe he's going to be doing something a little different than we're accustomed to. That's kind of my hope, but I have concerns because maybe he's going to do. I saw your teary-eyed emoji. Maybe he's going to do something different. It's possible. Not likely, but it's possible.
It's like saying maybe the sun will do something different tomorrow.
No, it's not like saying that at all.
But
there's a piece.
The sun's going to be purple tomorrow.
There's a piece in Mad Max that's quite beautiful. And
he probably didn't write it.
I was going to say maybe he didn't write it, but it's credited to him as far as I understand.
All right. But here's the key.
The boys have feelings about this.
Well, here's the thing, though. Here's the thing about this score that I'm concerned about it as well. But at the same time, here's an encouraging part about this score. Conrad Pope is the orchestrator.
Oh, that's encouraging.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So Conrad Pope's writing the score.
So the sun's going to be purple after all.
But what's that? What's that?
So the sun's going to be purple after all.
I love Kristen's emojis that keep popping up. That excited me. When I heard that Conrad did it, he conducted the New Zealand Symphony for it, and he orchestrated it. To me, that's like Tom Hulkenberg going out there and hiring quality and building his team. And I think there's, I just think it's gonna, I think he's gonna blow our minds. I think it could be good.
Blow our minds.
I think it could.
Here's the thing about Tom, though. Tom, he is a very smart man.
Sure.
His music is not my taste to the compositions, but he's very smart, and he knows how to build a team, and he knows I want to put some faith into it.
Yeah. I'm concerned, but it's possible.
Because of his intelligence level. And he really does care about the music.
Sure.
So, yeah.
I don't remember the music at all to The Dark Tower, but I remember thinking after the movie that I didn't barf, you know?
It wasn't great, but neither was the film. It's completely forgettable, both of them.
That movie was a very big disappointment. I was very much looking forward to it. I love those books so much.
Yes, for sure.
Well, they had a very poor concept that they executed on for that.
They did indeed.
And I like the cast. I like those two guys as those characters.
Yeah.
Matthew McConaughey.
That was kind of... I mean, he's a good actor, but I don't think that was a good role for him. Him in that role didn't work for me. It was like, well, what are you doing? But okay. Kristen, give us another one you're concerned about.
Okay. I am concerned about Ralph Breaks the Internet, and this is why.
Okay.
I really, really enjoyed Wreck-It Ralph. I loved what Henry Jackman did with that.
Yes.
I am concerned that there might be not enough growth in the score for the sequel. That, like, I'm not saying it's not going to grow from there. It's not going to evolve. I'm concerned, and this is what we're concerned about. And because I loved that first score so much, I'm afraid that the second might not measure up. That is what concerns me.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. I found Wreck-It Ralph fine. It didn't like bowl me over. I thought it was a fine score.
I had so much fun with that score, and it ended up, I have a playlist of scores that I use as like my workout playlist, and Wreck-It Ralph is definitely in there.
Really interesting. It's been a long time since I've listened to it.
It's so happy and upbeat,
And 80s.
Yeah, it was fine. I felt it was fine. I do have that on my list. Oh no, I don't. Actually, I have The Predator on my list, which is another Henry Jackman score, which comes out like next week or something.
I think so.
The 12th, September 12th. I'm just concerned because I so want there to be some Alan Silvestri in there, but I don't think there will be. And so I'm concerned.
Well, it's interesting because for Henry Jackman, he always, always, always tells a story in every single interview he does, whether it's with me for the fifth time or with someone else, or whether he's in person introducing a concert. He always tells the story about how he was in boarding school and he snuck out with his friends and they had like a VHS or a Betamax or something of Predator, and they watched it, and he was enamored with it. He was just enraptured with the score for Predator, and he stayed and watched the credits at the end, like looking like, who wrote this? Because it was like a catalyzing moment for him of, I want to make music for movies. And he saw the name Alan Silvestri, and because of that moment, I feel like this would be a special project for him. And I'm very curious about that aspect.
Are you concerned?
Gosh, I do not want to crap on, like, 8-year-old Henry Jackman's dreams, so I'm not going to say.
No, you don't have to crap on it. You're just saying, I have a concern about the score, or are you just I feel pretty good about it.
I'm not really concerned about this one.
Okay.
Because I feel like he has good action sensibilities. He is a Silvestri aficionado. He is a very, very intelligent composer. He takes a lot of classical influence. And I think when he really, really sets himself to it, when he doesn't have like budgetary constrictions or time constrictions, and he can do what he wants creatively, he can do something very special. Gosh, he did that Winnie the Pooh score he did was really special.
That was great. That was great. It was.
That's his best. Yeah. I love that score, actually.
It's a great score. It's a great score.
I'm always going to defend his Civil War and Winter Soldier scores.
Oh, my God. We are going to fight about Winter Soldier again, aren't we?
I love it. No, just going to put that out there.
You like the Winter Soldier score?
I love it. And I love Civil War, too.
Yep, me too.
Love them both.
Yep. I got so angry that I walked out of the room.
What?
Yeah, no,
you got angry at the score and walked out of the room?
I got angry while I was listening to the score and I walked out of the room. And stupid me, I have Bluetooth headsets that came with me. But yeah, that's why I'm not overly concerned about the Predator and am, in fact, quite interested in hearing what he does with it.
I'm interested. But I am concerned. Another reason I'm concerned is because of King Kong, or whatever the last one was called. Kong, Skull Island, whatever. I was really disappointed in that film and score.
Another thing, though, is that it's being directed by Shane Black, who...
Yes.
Is...
He was in the Predator.
Well, he was in the first Predator, yes.
Right.
He had this...
He's a good director, kind of though.
What?
He's a good director, though.
He's good.
What I'm saying is he's a good director. He's a great writer.
Yes.
And he has a stake in the music. He's very interested in music. He is very interested in 80s aesthetic of action music. So I'm wondering.
They hired the right guy.
I'm wondering. If he will have some sort of influence on how that turns out.
Let's hope.
If only there were guys still alive who could write 80s action scores.
Like Michael Kamen.
Yeah. There are plenty. But
wait a minute, Alan Silvestri is still alive.
I'm joking. There are a lot of people who were alive in the 1980s who could write 1980s action scores that are just not hired anymore because of ageism and bullshit that goes on in Hollywood.
Indeed.
Exactly.
Indeed.
But Dane, I like Henry Jackman.
Give us another one, Dane.
I'm actually concerned about Mary Poppins Returns.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's not this year, though.
Mark Shaiman, Scott Whitman.
I'm losing interest in Disney musicals. They're getting cookie cutter.
True, but this doesn't look cookie cutter.
No, it doesn't look that way, but I just am concerned about it because there hasn't really been a good musical, even in the animated side, at least in my opinion, since Tangled.
I'd agree.
I mean, the rest of them fit a formula and the songs are almost, do that. And maybe I'm just sensitive to it because I have young kids, so I've seen them all. But the original Mary Poppins is so good, so iconic.
Oh, that is coming out this year. I thought it was coming out next summer.
Oh. And, they're going to have to build on it. And I know, is it Robert Sherman or Richard Sherman has written Richard? Richard is
both of them.
I know, but I think Richard wrote some new songs for this.
Oh, well, yeah, Richard's the one that's still alive.
Yeah, yeah. So Richard, and it's terrible because I met Richard, but Richard's written some new songs for it. So that's interesting, but I just have this thing where it's just like, I don't want to be disappointed by this film.
Yeah.
I just feel like I'm going to be disappointed. It's just not going to hit the spot. Too. It's not going to hit the spot. It's not going to leave me, you know, singing when I walk out the door. Or if it does, it'll be because it's got some catchphrase and some chorus like "Let It Go," and I can't stop singing it. You know, well, exactly, and that's why it's in my concerned category, because I'm tired of that kind of musical. I want substance. I want, you know, something that really just the music, the story, the whole thing just flows together perfectly, and it's not just a vehicle for a song. You know.
I get the concern. I can definitely see there being some potential concern with following up a film like Mary Poppins. But this, for some reason, I have a good vibe about this one. Maybe it's because I really like Emily Blunt, and I think she could make a good Mary Poppins
for sure.
And so I have no concerns. I'm a little excited, actually, to see that. I think it's actually under my surprise list. Almost made my top five most anticipated, but not quite there. So I put it in the surprise list. Kristen, give us another one.
So there is a historical drama coming out starring Olivia Colman called The Favorite, which I was really looking forward to, and it still looks fantastic. It's getting really, really great buzz out of Venice. I looked into the production notes for more information, and I was like, oh, Yorgos Lanthimos, he hates music. He has something against original scores, and he's the guy who did The Lobster and the Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Okay.
God, what does he have against original scores? What do indie filmmakers in general have against original scores?
Probably, they all like Kubrick.
They can't afford them.
Probably that they're expensive.
Yes, they can't afford them.
Yeah, but actually the Kubrick comment is probably closer in this case because Lanthimos very explicitly has a thing for Kubrick. But I looked it up, and it's all licensed classical music and sound design from 64 Music, which, it's credited to Johnny Byrne, which is under the licenses, and there isn't an original score. So,
But if it works, it works.
I know, but oh gosh, I guess I put this under the concerned about section, because I feel like something like this could really have a beautiful score, and it doesn't. So I'm feeling
a loss. If only there were composers alive today who could write beautiful scores.
If only. Henry Jackman can write beautiful scores.
If only. You know what? Yeah, I feel like something like this could use a Abel Krasinski, but gosh.
Oh yeah, that would be cool.
Gosh.
He's probably also like, not another one.
Where would we find him?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Is he still alive?
Huh? Is he still alive? Certainly not mentioned within this very podcast.
That's right.
That's a good one. I'm not super familiar with... I've heard the title, but that's it. I didn't know anything about it. So now I have to look out for it and look out for that licensed music. I'll mention one more. I was going to mention two more, but one of them is by Junkie XL as well, Alita Battle Angel, but we don't have to have that conversation again. We can just copy and paste everything that we said about Mortal Engines into Alita Battle Angel.
There you go. Case in point.
I'm concerned about this movie as a whole.
Are you? I'm interested in it.
I'm concerned about the aesthetic of it. I'm concerned about the eyes.
Conceptually,
effect.
I like the concept. Wait, I can't hear
I really
anybody.
Like the concept.
No, I'm here.
Concerned about the aesthetic.
Kristen, Battle Angeled out.
I can't
there
hear.
She is. Now she's back.
I'm back?
Yeah, oh, you were you gone.
Oh. No, yeah. I was saying I'm not concerned about the concept. I'm concerned about the aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose the score does go into that.
Yeah. That was the one I was just making a mention of it because I know we'd probably say the same thing. So the one I want to say is Serenity, which is by Benjamin Wallfisch. And I'm concerned, and that comes out on October 18th. I'm concerned only because I don't know which Benjamin Wallfisch we're going to get.
Okay.
I'm hoping we get classic Benjamin Wallfisch, but I don't know anymore. I just don't know what to expect. So
I was going to ask why you put that in there, because it seems like Wallfisch would be sort of a good fit for this sort of thing. But again, which one do we get?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I forget the last score that came out for him after Blade Runner. There was another one where I was expecting it to be. Was that what it was?
It was
Isn't
good.
There something else?
It was great.
It was amazing.
Wasn't there something else?
What was?
I think there was something else that came out that I was expecting older.
Cure for Wellness?
That was good, too.
That came out before.
Something just came out of his. It showed up on my Apple Music thing, and I listened to it, and it wasn't It or Cure for Wellness.
Maybe that's it. Something came out that I was expecting old Benjamin Wallfisch, but I got new Benjamin Wallfisch, and I was like, "Oh, is that what it's going to be now?" So, hence my concern for Serenity. But you never know; we might get the old guy, which I love.
I think it was Darkest Minds.
That might have been it. That might have been it. I'm not sure.
Yes, it was.
Oh, that. Teen, not yeah. X-Men thing.
Yep.
I think that was it. but that I wouldn't have expected to have old Wallfisch on that. I don't know. Anyway, I have concerns. They're probably unfounded, but the concerns are there nonetheless. Any others anyone wants to mention?
Well, there were a couple that looked like great films, but they didn't have composers listed, and that gave me great concern. Like Outlaw King,
yeah,
you know, yeah, like who's composing for that? That looks really cool.
I can tell you that one.
Really, it's not listed on
Jim Sutherland.
Okay,
I never heard of him before, but I'll read a little excerpt here. Let's see, he made 40 pieces of music, the highly anticipated Netflix movie Outlaw King by Oscar-nominated director David Mackenzie, a project which found Jim producing and directing 120 of Scotland's most vibrant musicians, as well as bringing in musicians from Sweden, Norway, Netherlands, and Spain. The film also features songs by key cast members, really, including Chris Pine and Aaron Taylor Johnson. That's weird.
Maybe we won't get a cookie-cutter musical.
If that's a musical, that will definitely not be cookie cutter.
The other one was Beautiful Boy, which I think is a really rock solid and needed subject matter, you know, a film like that. But they didn't have a composer listed there either. I'm like, man, this needs a good score. So those gave me great concern, because it's like, here are these two, you know, films that look to be really good. And have at least one of them has a good, solid sort of message, if you want to say that. And they don't have composers listed, and that gave me great, great concern. So,
but yeah, Beautiful Boy is the type of movie now that has hardly any score. But yeah, 20 years ago, it would have like had a lush James Newton Howard score.
I hear you, and I agree with you. But that's
so
what I'm saying.
Like that, I never go out of my way to be like, oh, who's going to do the music and all that for something like that, because it's always going to be so minor.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, I could see an Olafur doing it, or, you know, a Max Richter doing something like that. You know what I mean? Just something that's, you know, beautiful and meaningful and simple and, you know, puts heart in there. That film just looks like it's going to need that. And at least that's what I want from it. Right. So,
sure.
But it just alarmed me that there was no composer listed.
This is what sent me down the rabbit hole of The Favorite, because that was another one that didn't have a composer listed. So I was like, that seems very strange. So I started digging for production notes and everything.
Okay. Well, let's wrap up with a few scores we think might surprise everybody. And I'll start off because I don't know how likely this is, but I'll say it anyway. Simon Franklin on Peppermint, which comes out on the 7th of September. Mm-hmm. The movie doesn't look great, but, you know, Simon Franklin's worked with a lot of great people, Horner and Shore and mm-hmm. I think James Newton Howard. And, you know, he's got a pretty good pedigree there. So I'm just putting it out there as it might surprise us. It might have something for us. Hopefully it's not just their typical modern action kind of spiel, but maybe he'll do something a little different and surprise us.
I'd be really happy if Franklin had a moment.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I don't know if this is the movie for it, but hey, you just never know. Sometimes out of nowhere comes a really amazing score. Kristen, what do you have?
The first one I put was mid-90s, which
is... I don't know that one.
It's being scored by Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross, which it takes place in the mid-90s. So that, I mean, they were kind of...
Oh, that's true.
They were very...
They were a thing.
They were a very specific sound for that period. So I'm curious. I'm really curious. I do tend to sort of like what they do. Usually. So we'll see.
Interesting that they were replaced or didn't come back to do The Girl in the Spider's Web.
Well, I mean,
that's a score.
It's not a score
I'm excited about.
It's not a Fincher movie, though.
True.
So
that's
true. They usually go with their director.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I'm not really surprised by that and sort of interested to see Rob Banos on that.
For sure.
Could be interesting. Justin, give us your surprise, potential surprise.
Maybe Hans Zimmer's score to Widows, which is a Steve McQueen film.
Mm-hmm.
Another Gillian Flynn story come to life to depress all of us.
Yay!
Hans did a good job with 12 Years a Slave, and I think when he gets a good director who's not I can't believe I'm blanking on his name, but the Inception guy,
Nolan?
Yeah, Christopher Nolan, when he's not working with Christopher Nolan, I think he's allowed to express himself a little bit more, so I'm looking forward to hearing what he does with this. So I think I might be surprised by Widows. Great cast in that movie, too.
I'm looking forward to the Sade song. Anytime you can work Sade into your soundtrack, I'm interested. I'm interested in that. We'll see. That could be a surprise. Dane, give us a surprise, potential surprise.
I think we both had Robin Hood by Joseph Trepanese. Yeah, yep. I think that could be... that could be a rocking good score.
It could be. It could be.
He's a good composer.
He is.
Yes, he is.
The movie, but the score, I have some hopes for. So could be a surprise.
Turned that trailer off right away when I saw what was going on.
Yeah, I'm not at all interested in the movie, but Joe Trapanese will always merit a listen from me.
For sure. Yeah. Agreed.
That's a big hashtag nope for me.
Nope that for movie. The score?
Not the movie. The movie.
Oh, the movie. Gotcha.
Yeah.
I think another surprise could be, it could be a surprise. Smallfoot by Hayter Pereira. He always does interesting animated scores, and I'd like to hear what he comes up with for this particular 3D animated film. I really like his work in general, and I assume it'll be guitar based. Maybe not though. Did he do all of the Despicable Me's? No, he didn't. He did the Minions movie, didn't he?
I think so.
I think he did the Minions movie. Which
I'm pretty sure he did. This, you know, Smallfoot was another case of when I was looking these up. Hayter Pereira wasn't listed in IMDb for this, so it was really confusing.
Yeah, where did who did they have in the IMDb?
They didn't have anybody.
Oh.
But I looked at that and was like, that cannot be right. A movie like this cannot be scoreless.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's on that one. Pretty sure he's on that one. So it could be a surprise.
Another surprise for me would be, I think, David Newman's music to Night School, which comes out at the end of the month. If he's allowed to do his thing, you know.
Yeah.
I am interested in that. He did a Girls Trip a couple summers ago, which, you know, it was light, but it was fun. I really want people to give David Newman more stuff because he's...
That's not the stuff
I want
him to do,
He's got a Netflix series coming out, but it's for kids.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Green Eggs and Ham.
Huh. Oh. That could be interesting. It's a series?
Yeah. So, kind of
well,
like...
yeah, you got to do it with the fox in the box, and then that's an episode. And then you got the mouse in the house, and that's another episode. And then on a train, in a car.
Oh, man, you've got that, that you've sounds got that like that would world be really down. Fun.
Yeah, it does.
Really fun to like compose for.
He said he has a big full orchestra for it. So,
oh, nice.
That sounds awesome.
Full orchestra, Susie and Newman.
That sounded very.
I don't know
Star
when that
Trek-y
comes out though. If that
Susie
comes out next year or what, but that Netflix show. But Night School. Night School should
nice.
Be good. I hope.
Yeah, maybe so. It didn't really do much for me when I saw the trailer. But I think the trailer is out, or pictures. I saw something from it. Didn't do much for me. Dane, give us another one.
You know, you guys aren't going to like this, but I think Aquaman might surprise
Aquaman,
us.
Aquaman, that sounds really exciting. Aquaman. Underwater explosions.
Yes, Aquaman. I think it could surprise us potentially. I think Rupert surprised with Wonder Woman. I think he could do
True.
It again.
That's fair. Yeah,
he could. I think he could do it again. Yeah, so I think that one could be surprising.
I don't have too much of a problem with that. I have a problem with the one Kristen's going to say though.
No.
This will not surprise us. Go ahead and name it.
Peter Liu.
Oh, gosh. This is... I still haven't woken up from his last score.
No, I love Gary Gershon.
Oh, his last score the screeching violins from the last one are still resonating in my skull.
I loved it.
What was that? What was
Mr.
the one
Turner.
He did? Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, shut up, about all of you. Mr. Turner was wonderful.
And we watched it dry.
I absolutely snoozed in that movie. Absolutely snoozed in it.
I loved that score so much. And I'm so excited to hear more from him.
Well, Peter Liu was made for you.
I may be the only one, but
you
I don't care. Yeah,
you are. It'll be a limited edition one of one soundtrack released.
I'll take it. I will take it.
I'll contribute one more, and that is A Simple Favor by one Theodore Shapiro.
Yes, I cannot wait for this film.
I know nothing about the film. It's like in a couple weeks, but I know nothing about it. But I saw his name attached to it, and I'm like, that one will probably surprise us because his work normally does.
And it's Shapiro doing a thriller. I love it.
Is it? It's a thriller? Okay.
I love it.
Good. Good, good, good. So that's my surprise prediction. Dane, any others?
You know, I think the Predator and Halloween scores could really surprise us, but we talked about that before, but it depends on the way they do the callbacks to the prior franchise efforts, right? Like, if it's really the scores do what we want them to do, then it'll be cool. So they could surprise us. I think that's why they weren't in my concern category. They were in my surprise category.
You just know John Carpenter's going to play the Halloween theme backwards and think it's brilliant.
It might be, though. You know, just for the scenes where they're running backwards. You know, the chase is back. Never mind. I think that could be surprising. I actually did think there were two films that I was really interested in. Green Book, and City of Lies. And I think both of those could have some solid jazzy R&B kind of thing going on. Green Book especially, I think I'm going to dig that score.
I don't based know either on the, of those films.
Based on the composer listed.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one too.
City of Lies, I think, has been shelved, if I'm not mistaken.
Really?
Have they not pulled that? I think they pulled it because Johnny Depp was a psychopath on set, right?
Oh.
It's still listed in the up and coming, though.
I have to look into that, but I thought I read that.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Well, I'm definitely looking forward to Green Book then.
don't quote me on it, but I could be way off. Maybe it's something else from him, but I thought it was that.
Well, I have to look those both of those up, so I'm not familiar with either of those. But I hope you're right. I hope it's something that surprises us. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for our fall and winter, at least through the end of the year, preview of the film scores that are coming up. Hope you heard some things that may have gotten on your radar that were not on your radar before. As we wrap up, Kristen, how can people find and follow you?
The easiest way to find me is on Twitter at KB4Now. That's KBFORNOW. You can find Film Score Monthly online at fsmonlinemag.com. Also on Twitter at fsmonlinemag. We just released our August issue. Is that right? August? Yeah.
Wow.
Good to hear. Good to hear.
Obviously, it was memorable. Check it out. I'm working on the September issue right now, which is why everything is loopy. So, yeah.
Excellent. Justin, how can people find and follow you?
Well, I hope you don't follow me in person, because then I might get a restraining order. But
we want them to follow you.
Follow him in the Port Authority. He loves that.
Oh, my God. Just not into the bathroom. Yeah, follow me in Port Authority. See how that goes. Wonderful place on earth. The city will be shut down if you follow me into Port Authority. It's a crazy man on the loose. He's attacking people because they're following him into Port Authority. You can follow me on Twitter at Justin_M_Craig.
Excellent. And Dane, how can people find and follow you?
You can follow me at Maestro Dane on Twitter. So you can follow me at Maestro Dane on Twitter, I think is the better way you're supposed to say that. It sounds weird to say at. That's like it some does. Star Wars thing, you know?
Exactly. If you're not talking Star Wars, don't say at.
That's right. But you can follow
Kristen
me
will get mad at you.
That's right. You can follow me at Maestro Dane on Twitter. You can check out my YouTube, Dane Walker Music. And I have a SoundCloud, which is also Dane Walker Music. And you can always go to my out-of-date website, danewalkermusic.com. But I will be updating that soon, so check it out.
Awesome. Of course, you can follow me if you want to, at C. Coleman. Or you can follow the show at Audio Soundcast, or all of our soundtrack-related tweets at Track Sounds. Hit us up with an email. Let us know what you are looking forward to this fall and winter in terms of film scores. You can send that email to soundcast@tracksounds.com or leave us a voicemail on our SpeakPipe widget on the site, thesoundcast.com. All right, well, that's going to end episode 116. Thank you all so much for listening. And until our next episode, we want to say may the notes be with you.
And also with you.